So yeah, it's good to see all of you again. Hope you had a good week. Yes, like Elder Jerry said, we'll be continuing part two of Is Jesus Good News? And so last week, we kind of talked about the birth of Jesus, how he was born in a really, lowly place, right? There was no room for them in any of, the lodging rooms, so they had to stay usually where the animals stay. And, Jesus is, the Son of God, right? God of the universe, and yet, he was born in a very, poor condition, no servants, right? No fancy stuff, no palace, Chinese babies, they get these gold plates or something like that, or gold chains and all these jewelries, accessories, but Jesus, he didn't have any of that, right? And he was placed in a manger, right? There's not even a crib for him. And then we learned how the angels appeared to the shepherds as they're tending their flock. And then when they heard this news, this good news, they ran and to Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. That's how they recognized that this was Jesus. And then they brought news that Jesus, he's good news, and that he is the Savior of this world, and that he's Christ, the Messiah. He's the Lord. And we kind of talked about how, although the Bible says this is good news, but for individuals, it may or may not be so. Right? And it kind of depends on a few factors. Right? It depends on, one, whether the person sees themselves as needing a savior. Do you need a savior? Do you need someone who saves you from your sins? Because if you don't need a savior, then Jesus isn't going to be good news. Right? Jesus isn't going to be good news. Right? He's just going to be the guy who drinks coffee and doesn't really care much for 10 rand opening up in a week, right? And then do you want a Lord? Right. Someone who you submit yourself to, who you obey, right, because it's the best for your life. If you don't want someone, to be Lord over you, then you're not going to see Jesus as good news. Right? You're just going to see him as an annoyance, as someone that's just telling you to do stuff, or someone watching over your shoulder and stuff like that, making you uncomfortable. Right. So those two things, right? Do you see yourself as needing a savior, and do you want a Lord? So today we're going to go through Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. So if you want to turn there with me in your Bibles or in your apps, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. In this passage, we're going to learn more about why Jesus is good news. Why Jesus is good news. So, I'm going to remember to turn this on. And then, okay, so I want to do something a little, or a little different, I guess, this time. I want this side, if you guys could read the odd verses, and then this side read the even verses. I know there's a lot more people on this side, so you guys are going to have to Yeah, be a little louder. Okay. Yeah, no problem. Okay. Yeah, so this side odd and this side even. All right, let's read it together.
At the end of eight days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and his man was righteous and devout. waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law,
he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said,
Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word.
For my eyes have seen your salvation,
that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him.
And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed.
And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And then, as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day.
And coming up at that day, he began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth.
And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
All right, thank you everyone for participating. Especially, you know, good job to you this side. I know you guys didn't have many people, but you guys still were pretty loud. All right, so we just read through the whole passage together, and as we read this, I just want you to think, right? If Jesus is good news, like the angels and shepherds say, right? Then, you know, he's going to have to fulfill the law, okay? He's going to have to fulfill the law. Because only one who has fulfilled the law can redeem those under the law, okay? So that might be a mouthful, but basically means this, right? In order for Jesus to save people from their sins, because that's what he does, right? He's salvation. In order for him to save people from their sins, he first needs to go through those trials and temptations himself. Right? So, like, think about, like, you know, if you get a new job, or you know, you join some kind of like sports team or something, and then like, you know, like, you might be observing your boss or your instructor, your coach, to kind of see if they know what they're doing, right? Like, I mean, I know when I joined like a soccer team, like I would. Like, my coach says, oh, like, I played in, like, some league, like, professional league. But, you know, I'm like, all right, but does this guy, does he still have it, you know? So, like, you kind of watch, right? Because, like, if you feel like if they don't really know what they're doing, or if they make, like, mess up, or they make mistakes, then it kind of, like, loses credibility. And then you're not really sure, like, is this person really, you know, capable of, like, helping us win or helping us get better or maybe managing, you know, this our group or something like that, right? So, like Jesus, you know, in order for him to be able to, like, save people from their sins, you know, he has to show himself as someone who, you know, has fulfilled the law, someone who is perfect. So in other words, you know, he has to show himself to be a good Jew, and not only a good Jew, but actually to be, like, a perfect Jew, okay, a perfect Jew. So if we look at Jesus' background from last week, you know, we hear about Jesus, you know, he's Joseph, going back to Bethlehem, right? Because his family is from the line of King David, and then the tribe of Judah. So Jesus, you know, he has this background, and you know, because he's a Jew, he has to be circumcised. So if we look at, you know, if we go back, right? Back here it says, you know, at the end of 8 days when he was circumcised, right? So this is part of the law. So if we go back to, if we go to where it all started, it starts with Abraham. So first, circumcision is basically like this, like surgical procedure where they cut off like skin from like male organ, reproductive organ, basically. And this was basically a sign of the covenant, Abrahamic covenant. Right? So God calls Abraham, right? Out of all the people of this earth, you know, God called Abraham and says that, you know, through you, I'm going to bless this world, through all the nations, you know, through you, I'm going to make you a great nation, right? And then he makes this covenant with him. And this covenant, like, the sign of it, I guess, like a physical sign, was that they had to be circumcised. And it's actually really painful, okay? It's really painful. So, and I think I heard, like, for babies, like, around, you know, that time, like 8 days, it's probably like the best time to do that for them. So they had to be circumcised. Every person, every male, okay, every male has to be circumcised. Like whether they're like a slave or they're, you know, a foreigner living in your house or something like that, they have to be circumcised. Because if you're not circumcised, then you're going to be cut off from God's people. And it's actually very serious. We'll see later on, like, you know, how people, they disobeyed that. Like, I mean, if you look at the Old Testament, you know, like, some people didn't obey that law, and you'll get cut off, which means that you're no longer part of God's people. You don't have this promise that God has given you. So it's actually really serious. And then, so for Jesus, right, if he's going to fulfill, you know, the law, right, if he's going to be able to save people under the law, then he's going to have to, you know, make sure that, you know, he's doing all these things. And, you know, Jesus, he's a baby, right? So, you know, he's only 8 days old. He's not going to really be able to make that decision for himself. So, thankfully, he had godly parents, right? Mary and Joseph. So, they took him to Jerusalem, which is about, like, 5 miles north of Bethlehem, where they were. And so, they took him there, and then they had him circumcised. And then, they also went there... about this time, if you look at this, if we go back here, right, back to here. Okay, so here. So they had him circumcised, and then they went to Jerusalem. And they went to Jerusalem for two reasons, okay? The first reason was purification for Mary, okay? So, you know, after giving birth, she's unclean, so she has to get purified. And then the second thing is this part here, to present Jesus to the Lord, right? As it is written in the law. So this is also something from the law that they have to fulfill, right? To be, you know, a Jew, like, you have to follow God's commandments, and this was one of the things. So every male who first opens the womb, basically the firstborn, so any firstborn males here? I'm a firstborn male. Right? Yeah, so if you're a Jew, you know, you would have to be dedicated to the Lord. Basically, you're consecrated, you're holy. So those are the two things: purification for Mary, and then dedication of Jesus to the Lord. And at around this time, Jesus would have been about 40 days old, because usually this purification happens around 33 days after the birth. So 33 days after birth, so almost like a little more than a month. You know, think about like Chinese people, I guess, like, usually you'll stay in the house, right, for about a month, and, you know, just to kind of recover and, like, you know, eat some good stuff, and, right, and usually you don't, like, see other people, and then after that, then, like, you present your baby to all your friends and relatives, right? So it's kind of similar. So after 33 days, they go to get purified, and so Jesus is about 40 days old now, right? About 40 days old. Okay. And then for this, for the sacrifice, okay, for this sacrifice, right here. So for this sacrifice that they have to make, usually you'll offer a lamb, okay, a lamb, and you'll offer like some turtle doves or young pigeons, two of these. But they were really poor, so they could only offer, you know, this or this, no lamb. And it really goes back to show, like, you know, Joseph and Mary, they weren't, like, well off. They really weren't that well off. So like for us, you know, like we might be like, oh, like, man, I couldn't get like the, you know, latest cell phone or something like that, or trendy clothes, or oh man, I really want that, like when fidget spinner came out, like, oh, I really want that fidget spinner or something like that, but I just couldn't get it. But like, you know, like those are just like more like wants, right? Those aren't needs. But these people here, like Mary and Joseph, they were actually kind of poor, right? And when I look at this part here, when it talks about Jesus being consecrated, when he's being like dedicated to the Lord, called holy to the Lord, I think that's really interesting. And I want you to really notice that, because Jesus, he has a very unique role to play in, you know, in his life. Very unique. No one else has that role. Okay. So he's being dedicated, but like just like every other firstborn would, but he has a very special role. Okay. And if we go on further, we meet this man called Simeon. He's actually kind of an interesting character. Some people think he's like really, really old. But you know, it doesn't say that he's really old, right? But some people think he's really old, so some people think he's young. But what we do know is that this man, he was righteous and devout. Righteous and devout. Okay. Righteous meaning, you know, he does what is right. So he obeys God's law, you know. He's obeying God's commandments. He's loving God. And he's devout. Like, you know, like maybe he's like, he's doing his prayers, you know, his three prayers daily. You know, in a way, he goes to the temple a lot. You know, he offers his sacrifices, his offerings. You know, he does all those things. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. So, like, he's basically, like, he's waiting and he's waiting for when the Savior would arrive. When this Redeemer, when this Deliverer, this King, this Messiah would arrive. When this person would be born. This guy, he's been waiting, okay? And he's, like, some people think he's really old. So, like, think about us. Like, some of us are only, like, 25 or less than that. Some of us are, you know, older than that. But, you know, like, we might think that's a long time. But, you know, if this guy, if he was really old, as some people think, now he's been waiting a long time. And not only was he righteous and devout, but, you know, he had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And because he had this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit revealed something to him. And it revealed to him that he wouldn't see death. Basically, he wouldn't die until he met the Christ. That's really interesting, right? And that's very specific. So then one day when he went into the temple, somehow he just recognized Jesus. Right? He recognized the parents and he recognized Jesus. And he walks over to them. Like, I don't know how he recognizes them, but, you know, he has the Holy Spirit. And then he takes Jesus up in his arms and he blesses God. And he says this, I'm going to read it again. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Right? So this is the reason why, you know, some people think he's really old and he's like about to die, but like God won't let him die or something like that until he sees Jesus. So this is why some people think he's really old. And then verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So what I want to bring to your attention are these three verses here, like 30, 31, and 32. I want you to really pay attention to this. Okay. For my eyes have seen your salvation. So when he sees Jesus and he picks Jesus up in his arms, right, this baby that's about 40 days old, he recognizes that this baby is salvation. Okay. This baby is going to save people. And this baby, you know, this salvation has been prepared in the presence of all peoples, right? So like basically this baby has come from heaven, you know, to earth, to our world, in front of all these people, okay? In front of all these people to show that he is salvation, right? And God's prepared this. And this salvation, you know, this Jesus is a light, right, for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel. Okay, so, all right. Okay, so I want you to look at this. Remember this. Okay, These are 2 points from what he's just said. Jesus is salvation. Okay, Jesus is salvation. And Jesus is for all people. Those two things are very clear. We see those things from the verses. Jesus is salvation. And I think that's pretty cool because, you know, that's literally what Jesus' name means. Right? It means the Lord saves or the Lord is salvation. And that's literally what it means. And Jesus is for all people. He's not only for the people of Israel. This must have been an interesting comment, right, when Mary and Joseph heard this. Because Jews were thinking that, you know, the Messiah was for them. Right? That was their Lord. That's their Savior. That's their deliverer. That's their king that's going to, you know, free them from, you know, the rule of the Romans, you know, where they don't have to pay taxes to the Romans anymore and stuff like that. We could do what we want. Right? So they're thinking that, you know, Jesus was for them. And I just think, like, you know, it's kind of like that. You know, I don't know if you know the OnePlus cell phone. You guys know the OnePlus? OnePlus, like, they had OnePlus 5 now or something like that. So basically, it's a cell phone where back in the day, like, you needed basically an invite in order to buy this cell phone. And this invite was kind of, like, it's kind of hard to get. Okay? Unless you had, like, unless you knew someone who already had the product, then they could, like, give you, like, a code or something like that. But it was actually, like, kind of, they, like, kind of, like, created this, like, artificial demand. Okay, so, and then, like, but now these days, like, you don't need an invite anymore. You can just go and buy it. So, like, you know, it's kind of like that, where I feel like, you know, like, before, you know, like Jesus, you know, he was kind of just for, he was for these Israelites, right? He came to save these Israelites. He's their deliverer. But then here we also see that, no, that's not, I mean, sure, that's the case, but in addition, you know, he's also for the Gentiles. He's for everyone, right? He's for everyone. So Gentiles are basically anyone who's not a Jew, okay? Anyone who's so I guess like most of us, I I'd say. I don't think we have any people with Jewish background here, but yeah. So like us, so Jesus is for us, okay? And Jesus, he's described as being the light for revelation to the Gentiles. So revelation is basically something that's been revealed, so something that was once hidden. Something that you couldn't see before, okay? You couldn't see before. Maybe, like, you know, maybe you knew something about it or something like that, but you didn't see it until it got shown to you. So now Jesus is being shown to the Gentiles, to us. Because you got to remember, Gentiles, they weren't part of God's people. They weren't part of Abraham's, you know, family, right? God chose Abraham. There was no covenant between God, you know, and the Gentiles. Gentiles, they weren't circumcised, right? The Gentiles, they didn't have God's law, right? They weren't taught God's law. And the Gentiles, they didn't have as much knowledge about God as, you know, the Israelites had, the Jews had. You know, the Gentiles, they may have known some things about God. Like, I'm sure a lot of them heard, you know, when the Israelites, you know, they were freed from slavery in Egypt. They recognize that, wow, the Israelites, they have this really powerful God, right? But, you know, like, they didn't really know this God. They just knew, like, oh, this God is to be feared. Like, if we're going to go fight with them, then, like, you know, we might die or something bad might happen, right? So they were afraid in that sense. But, you know, they didn't really know God. They knew some things, but they didn't really know God. And the people of Israel, as God's people, they were supposed to, like, influence nations around them. Right? They were supposed to be witnesses. They were supposed to obey God's commandments. Okay. And then, you know, through that, the nations around them would be blessed. And the nations around them would come to know this God and come to believe in this God and want to follow this God. But the Israelites, you know, they sinned and they fell into idolatry. And then they followed all the nations around them. They wanted to be like other people, you know. They intermarried, they followed the other gods, and then, like, they basically just kind of, like, God was just, like, kind of there, but not really, like, that important anymore. So with the arrival of Jesus, you know, God was going to reveal to the Gentiles himself. He was going to reveal himself to these Gentiles, and not in just, like, a, like, you know, like a way, like, oh, God is kind of powerful, he can win battles and stuff, but You know, he's really going to reveal himself personally through the person of Jesus. And he's referred to as light, right? Because what does light do? You know, it dispels darkness, right? Light allows you to see. It allows you to see clearly. So like last night after youth fellowship, I was walking, you know, to my car and back over here. And then, like, I heard, like, a lot of noise, like, a lot of, like, young kids' voices and stuff. I'm like, where's these voices coming from? And I saw that they're playing in that play structure over there. But, like, it was really dark, actually, you know? Like, there's really not much light back here. So I was like, how are they playing on this structure, you know? And then I was like, and then I noticed that, oh, there's someone who's, like, shining, like, you know, a flashlight from their phone, like, so these kids can play, right? Or else they wouldn't be able to. It's so dark out here at night. You can't see anything. There's no light. So then, like, as I was walking to my car, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I should do that too. So put on my cell phone, flashlight, and I was able to get to my car safely, right? But, like, you know, that's how it is. Jesus, you know, is the light to these Gentiles. He reveals who God is to these people who didn't know who God was before. Right? And that's an amazing thing. That's really an amazing thing. God, he came in the flesh, right? He came to show us who God is and that we can be saved from our sins. So I want to go to John chapter 1. I don't know why I keep pointing over here. I should be pointing there. But John chapter 1, right? I think this is kind of familiar to most of you, I would say. Right? It talks about Jesus, you know, he's the Word. Okay, he's the Word, and he became flesh. Okay? So Jesus came, and he was flesh, and he dwelt among us. And it talks about, all right, so I'm just going to point out to you how many times the word light shows up, okay? And this light is Jesus. So it talks about this, okay? Right? And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Right? There was a man sent from God, whose name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. John was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Right? And you can read more of this later. But this is what it's talking about. Jesus, he's the light of the world. Right? He came into this world. Right? So I don't know if you guys know the song Heart of Worship. Right? Right? It's talking about like light of the world, you step down into darkness, right? Open my eyes, let me see. Right? So Jesus, he's this light that came into this darkness, into this world, to show us who God is. And if only Jesus can be the Savior of this world, okay, if only Jesus can be the Savior of this world, then he is good news. If only Jesus can be the Savior of this world, then he can be good news. And we know this because all people sin. Only someone who is perfect, who is blameless, who's righteous, can bring someone into a right relationship with God. Right? No one in history could do this except for Jesus. Right? Only Jesus was qualified to do so. And we're going to learn a little more about that as we go through this book, right? Because we've only touched about like Jesus, you know, getting circumcised. We talk about Jesus being, you know, dedicated, basically like as holy to the Lord. And you'll see later on like many like more things about who Jesus is and how he fulfills this law as he's perfect, and that he is like worthy to be Savior of this world. Like he can do it, right? Because of who he is, right? He's perfect, and this is why the coming of Jesus is good news. This is why Jesus is good news, because he's the only one that can do this. He's the only one that can save you from your sins. And if we go to verse 33, not this one yet. Verse 33, hey, Mary and Joseph, they marvel at what was said about this child. So it's almost about 11 months now that they've had Jesus. So they've probably heard a lot of things already, right? Mary had, was visited by an angel. Joseph was visited by an angel. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. You know, they also said some good things about Jesus and Mary. And then, you know, their shepherds came to visit them. And now, like, they're at this in Jerusalem at this temple, and then now Simeon, he also says this wonderful things about Jesus, and that, you know, he's going to be the, you know, salvation, he's going to be the light, and then they marvel about all these things. And then Simeon, he says something very direct to Mary. He says this. And it is kind of shocking. He says this. Jesus, Jesus, look with me at this verse. Okay. He says this. Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. Okay. So this child, Jesus, is going to be destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and will be a sign that will be opposed. So, I feel like this is a really big deal. Because Jesus is the light, he's salvation, but he's going to cause people to rise or fall. Either rise or fall. So we see two groups of people here. People who rise and people who fall. So people who rise are those who accept who Jesus is. Okay? They accept Jesus as salvation. They receive Jesus' salvation. Because he is salvation. And those who fall are basically the opposite. Those are the ones who reject Jesus. They say, I don't want Jesus. I don't want salvation because Jesus is salvation. And then near the end of verse 34, it says that Jesus, he's this sign that will be opposed. He's a sign that will be opposed. Meaning that people who hear about this good news, not all of them are going to accept Jesus. Not all of them are going to accept Jesus. They're going to oppose it. And I think that's really true, because if you look around you, like maybe here, maybe at your workplace or at your schools, in your classrooms, you're going to see people that, don't accept Jesus. You don't have to look very far to see that. Right? You don't have to look very far to see that. And then pay attention to verse 35. So verse 35, it says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So basically, it's talking about the sword piercing Mary's soul. So like some people, they explain it as, Jesus, he's going to be opposed. He's going to suffer a lot. And, Mary, you're his mother. And you love your son, right? I mean, you bore your son. You guys are like related. Like, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. Like some people, they would describe it that way. But what I want you to focus on is this last part. It says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So a sign will be opposed, right? And then the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So it's very clear here, as you learn about who Jesus is, your heart is going to be revealed, okay? What you're thinking, right? Like do you like who Jesus is? Do you not like Jesus? Who Jesus is? Who is he? Like, do you agree? Do you disagree? Like these things are going to be revealed in some way or another. Okay, in some way or another, they're going to be revealed. Now, I know I'm jumping ahead now, a little ahead, but we'll see that later on in Jesus' life, he says things like, "Pick up your cross daily and follow me." Pick up your cross daily and follow me. He says things like, the world's going to hate you if you follow me because they hated me first. Like, do these words, do they sound very positive or negative? Like, how do you receive that, right? Because as we see later on, Jesus, he's going to teach. He's going to talk about God's word. He's going to, basically get into people's lives. And people are going to be, they're going to have to, figure out, what does that mean for them? Right? Who is Jesus to me? And do I like who this Jesus is? So how are you going to react to that? It's going to show. Your heart's going to be revealed. Right? Your heart's going to be revealed. And in those moments, you'll be contemplating whether Jesus is good news or if he's bad news. Right? In those moments, you're going to be thinking, is Jesus good news? Do I want this Jesus? Do I want him to be my Savior, my Lord? You're going to have to come to that realization yourself. And there is no middle ground. Right? We see there's only two groups, people who rise and people who fall. There are only two groups. There's no middle ground. There's no people who are like floating or something, or half on the ground or something. There's no neutral zone. Okay? You're going to have to make a decision what you think about Jesus. So some of you might not know yet. Okay, maybe you still have a lot of questions. Maybe you need more time. And that's okay. Ask those questions. You know, take your time to think through things. Really search yourself. But at some point in time in the future, you're going to have to make a decision, okay? And like maybe you feel like, I already made a decision. You know, I already know Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Lord, hallelujah. But like later on when it's going to cost you, okay, when it's going to cost you, that's when it really matters, I think. That's when it really matters. When following Jesus, when saying that I accept Jesus, when it's going to cost you something, it might cost you a relationship. You know, it might cost you your job, okay? It might cost you, you know, some like luxuries in life, okay? Some sacrifices you're going to have to make, and in those times, you know, then you're going to really find out whether, you know, Jesus is good news or he's bad news. So, you know, going back to, you know, Luke chapter 1, talking about Theophilus, right? This is the person who Luke is writing to. Theophilus, he may not have even accepted Jesus yet. Okay. Maybe he's still trying to figure out whether Jesus is good news or bad news. He's not sure yet, maybe. Or maybe he's trying to see whether what he's been told is true, right? Maybe he's trying to see if it makes sense. So if you're searching like Theophilus, I want to ask you, you know, where are you now? Right? Where are you now? Who is Jesus to you? Right? Is he good news or bad news? I mean, like, I'm really asking you seriously to check. Seriously to check. This is a really important question. And I want to end with verse 39 and 40. Verse 39 and 40. So it says, well, I kind of skipped over about three verses talking about the prophetess Anna. So it's Anna, she's a very righteous, godly woman. Okay, you know, she's in the temple a lot. She's praying and she's fasting. And she's a really godly woman. And it's kind of like similar things to kind of Simeon. And then she basically talks about, you know, who... Jesus is. So I'm not going to go too much through that, although it is important. But then what I want you to turn to now is verse 39 and 40. It says this, 39 and 40. When they had completed everything, basically, you know, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, when they completed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. So remember, if I showed you the map earlier on, right, Bethlehem is more south, right, near Jerusalem in Judea, and then Galilee is like up, right? So it's Judea, Samaria, and then Galilee, right? So Samaria, Jews don't want to go there, and then Galilee is all the way up there, and then Nazareth is up there, okay? So they go back there, and then the boy grew up. Jesus grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. So I like how Luke, he writes this, because... you know, he's further reinforcing the idea that, you know, Jesus is in fact fulfilling the law of God. He's fulfilling this law of God as the perfect person, the only person who could save us from our sins. And that's why he's good news. And everything was done according to the law, right? It's foreshadowing of what will happen later on in his life. Because right now, you know, Jesus, he's only like 40 days old. I mean, there's still a lot to go. But it's kind of a foreshadowing of who Jesus is. And in verse 40, it says that he grew up strong, right? He grew in wisdom. And, you know, the favor of God and man was on him. So I would say that, you know, based on Luke's writings, like, based on what he's trying to say, you know, Jesus, he's a pretty good candidate for Savior of the world, right? He's a pretty good candidate. So, you know, I really want you guys to really think, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Right. Who is Jesus to you? Is he good news or is he bad news? So, you know, with that, I just want to close in prayer. If you could just bow your head with me. Lord, we are so grateful for your word. Your word that reveals to us who Jesus is. Lord, we know that Jesus is the light of this world. He's the revelation to this world. Lord, through Jesus, we can truly come to know you personally, not just as, you know, a name in a book or someone like that was in history, but someone personally. God, and we know that Jesus, he is holy, he is righteous, he is blameless, he is sinless, and he is the only one who can save us. And help us, Lord, to really see Jesus as something good, something that is good news. Good news. Help us to remember that. Help us to live with knowing that. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ. And as we, you know, as we continue on through this series, help us to recognize more and more of who you are and who your son, Jesus Christ, is. And how much you love us, God. Thank you so much, and help us to, you know, live in a way that honors you. We pray this in the name of Jesus.